to the comprehensive overall plan, how are these, are these going to tie in with that?
Yeah, those guys are here to talk about that.
Oh, okay. We're pursuing that now.
Kind of clears some dollar funding, figures that Frank met with us and said that he would be comfortable with $500,000 to $1 million worth of dollar value on these projects, Frank Preston. So that's where we left that. As far as his budget, he said that, that he was comfortable with allowing from $500,000 to $1 million on this project. So that I foresee maybe, you know, the possibility that if we get one of these, we'll, the funding will be sufficient from the county to cover what he's talked about here. And then when we get to the southern part, we'll know where the that's at.
So if we get two projects, what's going to happen?
Well, if we have to get those two projects, they're within 600, the way I understand, they're within $660,000 of expense for road and bridge, which is lays within his boundaries of budgetary needs. So if we got two projects, that would be all the better for us.
It was on the 14th that we agreed on. It was a 2-to-1 on the 20% match. And that's when Frank said that $800,000 is what he was comfortable spending out of his reserves on these two projects.
Did he kind of come with $800,000 because it was $500,000 to $1 million?
Yeah, and he came back with $800,000 because we did the $400,000. He assumed $400,000 for Fall Creek, $200,000 for, $400,000 for Maple. Did you say $400,000?
Maple's zero because it's 100% funded.
Trying to get the number through T Highway, Fall Creek, and Maple. And so
I think it was probably maybe 2-to-4 on the T Highway.
Right.
Because there was still some level of uncertainty about what the entire scope would be. And there was some discussion about would there be any realignment. And we knew that we took that out when we started looking at the 50-50 cost share.
The reason he gave us four projects that he knew money was coming out. Boys Camp Road, which has nothing to do with this, but he brought that up in the discussion we had. So he got it to $1,050,000 with those four projects. So
simple. Sorry. More questions for Spencer? Is there anything else to add?
I don't. I guess I'm just direction on to submit the application based on the information that discussed.
Do we need to step out of that? I mean, we'll have to come out of this meeting at the very end and do it, right?
Okay. The only thing there is that it closes at 5 o'clock Eastern time, which would be 4 o'clock here. So if there was some reason there,
let those guys make those guys right. A presentation.
It's
going
to be close.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, ACR?
Yeah, thank you.
The last Thursday morning we met with the commission and talked to them about looking at this corridor plan so that we could identify, so that we could do some cost estimates and things like that. During our discussion we decided, you know, it would be nice to come off the new bridge 76 over Forsyth, 160F, hit into the high road and bring the high road down to 376. So we went back with that assumption to look at the planning for that there. So part of that planning process, we will basically be looking at what are the needs along that corridor, looking at the future needs along that corridor. You can take the high road. What's 248 going to look like in 5 to 10 years? What do we need to do on 248? If we do build it down to 376, how much is that taking off the 76, or what kind of improvements we need to do on 76? Coming through Forsyth, you know, how do we change and look at the intersection of 160 and F? How do we look at 160 with some of the roads coming through here, Casey Road? How do we look at where 76 and 160 come together? Going across 76, looking at that corridor, what improvements we can make. We would look at maybe a three-lane section similar to what we have on 76 where the new shopping center is there, going with three-lane sections through the commercial areas. Looking at maybe widening a little bit on the shoulders to four-foot shoulders, so in the other areas on that corridor where you don't have that, putting left turns and right turns at dizzy intersections. We've identified about 20 major intersections along this 35-mile corridor that we could look at those things. So it would be an extensive look at that. Along with that, we would do modeling to look at what it would look like today and in 2010, what it's going to look like 2030, so that we can explain this to the public when we sit down to them and look at some alternatives for some of these different things that we really need to address along that corridor. So there will be alternatives developed, a model developed. Will be public hearings so the public can come in and comment on those things. Looking at that, I'd look at probably you'd be looking at maybe 2 to 3 public hearings, one kind of the eastern part here and one over around Branson. Maybe something in between that. We can look at those things there as we start to do that planning process. But people are very interested in that corridor. It's kind of that circumferential route. And right in the middle of it is the busiest tourism center we have in the state of Missouri. So everything will feed off of that. We want to look at kind of the mid to low income housing around that corridor so we can encourage that. We want to look at some non-modal transportation such as Kirbyville where you have a school there. How can we provide safe access across 76 if it's going to become a major corridor? So how do you address some of those things? Are there some opportunities we can encourage bike and pedestrian along those corridors? What can we do in cooperation with OATS for transit? Look at that there. Maybe there's bus stops. Maybe there's locations that we can drop people off and pick people up to bring them to Branson, to the hospital, or whatever it might be that they need to come and see a doctor, that you can do things like that. So there's a lot of opportunities there to look at those other modes of transportation. One thing that Commissioner Strahan brought up was Branson Hill and that stormwater drainage coming down that hill. How can we kind of control that a little bit, slow it down so it doesn't come into Coon Creek and cause a lot of erosion control around that bridge? MoDOT will probably be looking at rehabbing that bridge in the near future. How can we look at that? Do we need some widening to accommodate some type of movement into Lakeshore Drive? All of this will be kind of looked at on a corridor-wise basis. And alternatives will come up, be out with the public will get to see them, we'll look at what the cost estimate's going to cost them, so they all have an idea and play a part in making future transportation decisions. Any questions? On the back, I've kind of given you some details of this. 35-mile loop, how many miles on 76, what's on 160. The city of Forsyth is applying for about a $5 million grant through Tiger II. That would include widening 160 from just outside the courthouse all the way over through Coy, maybe up towards the city hall there. If they don't get it, then we want to make sure that we have some money in here to help them do a planning process on that. F is about 5 miles, and then 465 is about 10 miles from 65 all around. And looking at those future needs, was here when the high road was being built. There, if you remember, there was a connector road that went out towards Green Springs. Would that be something that is needed in the future? Is that another connector route down into Branson running along the railroad tracks going into Branson? Those things could all be considered in this study. So it's a looking at it region-wide and how we can address these needs. Any questions?
Is there a proximity to the core of this that you'll look at? Like obviously, you wouldn't be looking at the extreme northeast corner of the county because that's beyond your corridor, right?
What we would do is, and you know, we've listed a number of cities on here and communities on here. I think one of the first things that we would do to be able to get kind of a feel for what is that future traffic demand on this here is a visiting with each of these communities and seeing what their vision growth is. So we would probably have an extensive visit with City of Branson to find out what are your needs along that corridor, Hollister, with the 76 and Forsyth. We would come that from that, then we can come back and model, put that in a model so we know what your vision is. And that's very important. We've got to get that vision so that we can really predict that. So that's going to depend on when we come and sit down and talk as a people. If you want that to go a little further out, that can be done.
David, Mr. Lawson, planning director, City of Branson, they have something underway now. He gave a talk there.
a comprehensive plan update.
That's right. For the city, and I assume they'll be moving.
Yeah, I think it, good idea. I think it needs to tie in, them get our information and vice versa.
So they're going to be gathering, according to him, a great solution.
But we need to have those visits with those communities along there, people that want to come in and put some input. Because it is that vision that we're really looking at and trying to build to that vision.
Is this project description what you submit for the pre-application? And
yes, that's what we submit.
I would recommend some of the things you said about the other modes, putting that up front in the description, because that is what they're looking for.
Yeah,
I don't want them turned off.
One thing, you have to have 50 words or less.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. I've wordsmithed this 5 or 6 times trying to come up with that. But I wanted to kind of get them an idea that there's 7 million visitors that go in this court here, and there's a workforce, and you know. Later on in the application, it does say what's your primary purpose. We did roads and bridges, and then the secondary was kind of that comprehensive plan looking at that, and then affordable housing, you know. We have put in there some secondary things of, like road and bridge was number one, but pedestrian was number two and things like that. So it's there within the proposal, Frank, and I can get you a copy of that. The only problem was how could I change it? That was my biggest, I wish I could, because I could have done a full page on what this would bring to the community.
What are you looking at, a time watch?
Well, once we hear from the grant, which I think is in September, we would try to start probably getting this stuff. I would like to do it during the wintertime because that's often time when we can really get people engaged because they don't have business that are running 24 hours a day. And so they can get involved. So I would like to get it under contract as soon as we could once we hear about the grant, and so we can give them the often time to come to these meetings and get heard.
So we could be looking at spring of next year or fall of next year?
They're wanting us to probably get this thing going. So if we hear about September, you know, it probably 2 to 3 months probably get the allocation and everything. Is that pretty much?
Yeah. Well, they're saying I think October to announce the awards. And I'm skeptical of that.
Okay.
Because they're going to have, I forget, they, I think they had 14 years the first time. I think they got a lot this time to review, and I just don't see them being able to deliver on that time frame. And then once they make the awards, they're going to have to notify the state, okay, that you actually have this money, and then what is their process of getting the money to the county. And I've also learned that once a recipient has the money, they have to follow the federal aid process, so they have to go out with another RFQ
for consult
after that point. So that will take time also.
But it would be ideal to try to get it when the slow season is here to get as much input as we possibly can for people. You know, I don't want to delay it for a year, but we'll work around that.
What is that grant called? How much money are you going to be able to get?
We're asking for
$175,
and there's no match with that. We're not asking for that.
So, well, it's not a sense that we're going to get that.
No.
What you're saying?
It's the same competition as the other one.
Probably more so.
There is $75 million available for these planning efforts.
And then the rural distressed also needs a leg up, which is what we are. So we have some advantages as part of that Tiger team, right?
Yeah. So you take into consideration the amount of visitation, et cetera, et cetera, they should bring.
When we do our full submittal, we will really build those things up. So, you know, we're going to show the best light as we possibly can. This year, you can't really do too much for this year, but it will be something that we will really look at those key things that Frank said, you know, low, moderate income housing to deal with the workforce, you know, getting circumferential routes. You've got routes to go from eastern Taney County, western Taney County, emergency response. There's a lot of things that we can do to really make this proposal a lot better that you really can't do with just 50 words.
You said how many millions were for planning. That's different than the money available for construction.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it
75? You said 75?
Yeah, there's 75. There's 40 million from HUD and 35 million from the Tiger 2, right. 600 million. And then you have 140 set aside for rural infrastructure. And then the remaining part of that is for the urban project. So, you know, while you have competition, at least there's some breaks there between rural and urban this time here that they'll adhere to, so that wasn't there the last time. And they are talking about...